But invite you to turn in your Bibles. And Dean, I'm actually going to be using the New American Standard this morning, so you may want to pull that up in that instead of the other. I should have told you before the service. Please forgive me. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Before I read the scripture, I want us just to go back a little over the last topics that we've been talking about, because we've been kind of building a foundation and we're keep moving forward each week. So we've been talking about authority, and we've been talking about the authority that you and I as the believer have been given, because we are now in the kingdom of heaven and He has called us to have authority to take that kingdom to this lost world. Okay, so that's step one. We are called to do that. Secondly, then, we started talking about the concept that authority means might and right. Now, we needed to understand that that authority gives us the right to exercise it, and that the term authority in the Greek carries both of those connotations. It is the right and then the power or the might. So I, right and might, I said, every time you see the word authority in Scripture in the New Testament, think right and might. All right? Then, last week we talked about the parameters, and we talked about there's 10 commandments that we should follow as far as how we use authority as a Christian. And I'm not going to go over those today. But today now, we're going to talk about the fact that we have a responsibility to use that. It's a requirement in the Christian life. It's not something that we should just think, oh, well, maybe we should do this. This is a part of God's command for godly living, for righteous living in our lives, to start to take authority. And Marjorie, thanks for that example this morning. That's one area that we need to start recognizing. There's some spiritual warfare going on all around us, and we have to take the right and might to do that. One second now, I'll let you say one more thing. I want us to recognize, though, that... Well, actually, go ahead.
I just want to say that if God's Holy Spirit had not revealed what was going on, I would not know.
Okay, thank you. That goes right with what I wanted to follow through with. It is a matter of learning to walk in the Holy Spirit and let Him guide us. Because, you see, the Scripture talks about many spiritual gifts. At that point, one of the spiritual gifts Marjorie was given was discernment. She may not have discernment all the time. She needed it in that situation. And the Lord bestowed that gift because that's what was needed. Does that make sense? So I just want you to understand that this authority then plays right into what we're going to talk about today. All right, so now let's take a look at Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves, and he entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gave 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful for the few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away, and I hid your talent in the ground. See, You have what is yours. The master answered, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away." And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in the place that there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't think any of us wants to be that last servant. But I think many of us struggle with not being fearful. I think that for many of us, we let fear stop us from doing things. And I have a confession this morning. And I've already asked the Lord's forgiveness. And I got here by scripture study and the Lord laying things on my wife's heart. Did I like them? No. Did I need them? Yes. Your pastor has a struggle with how to use his authority. Because I'm always fearful of what someone will think. There are times that we are called to do something that we don't want to do. And sometimes, because of my fear, I have not moved ahead. As the pastor, the shepherd of this congregation, I have been given a responsibility to sometimes use the staff or sometimes use the crook of it to grab someone and pull them back. I like the part of leading them to the green pasture. That I enjoy. But when it comes to grabbing someone by the scruff of the neck and pulling them up because they're in danger, I find it hard. So I ask your forgiveness and I ask for your prayers. It's been a rough week with these things. But, hallelujah, God forgives and he asks us to move forward. So I plan on it. So look out, guys. All right. I think that parable is very self-explanatory, and I think that it was what the Lord needed in my life to motivate me. Now let's turn to our other scripture. And it's funny because if you remember, I was preaching and we started hearing all of these related topics that needed to come into our study on authority. And one of them is the full armor of God. So today, sermon on full armor of God. Let's take a look at that scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And I won't find it in the book of Mark. All right, right chapter, right book. We're in good shape now. Verses 10 through 18. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me." Well, I was supposed to stop at 18. So, but we need to always pray. We'll stop there then. Amen. All right. Talk about God's timing. Last night, as the Sabbath came on and we started listening to Manifest that Perry Stone is the speaker on, guess what scripture he talked about last night? You guessed it, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Now, it was very interesting because we've recorded all these and we're way behind. We're in March. We're listening to the broadcasts that were done in March. And last week we listened to three of them. And so that put us in for that one to show last night. God knew that this was going to be the scripture I was going to talk on. And he said, you just need a little firmer foundation. Now, I want you to think about the King James for a minute. It uses the term wrestle. And so he gave us a lesson on wrestling last night. And talked about the training of the wrestling. And so it was very interesting because he said that they trained in different settings with the wrestling. They would oil their bodies down and wrestle against each other. They would get in the mud and wrestle against each other. And the concept was that in all of this, they were preparing for a battle. Because that's what they would have their people do. Because when we're in a battle, do they follow the rules? Okay? Now think about it. We think we're a civilized nation. But I want you to think about when we get angry with something. What's the first thing we do? We think of their weak spot. We know where their buttons are. And we go right for the jugular, don't we? So ungodly. That's the human way, okay? Throw that one in the trash can. Got it? We're not going to walk that way anymore. Why? Because we're going to be full of the Holy Spirit and we're going to be clothed in the armor. Now let's talk about this armor because so often I would find myself going through this rote expression because I knew that it was important for us to be clothed in the armor. And we need to keep that armor on at all times because Satan doesn't sleep. All right? Now, I want you to start dividing the armor into the right and might part of authority. Because as I looked at the armor, I saw how they were so much a part of the right and the fight. Think about the helmet of salvation. What does that mean? Yes, it protects the head, but in the spiritual sense, what does that mean? When you and I were adopted, became children, we received rights. We received many rights. And that helmet is where we are to symbolize the fact that we have now been adopted and have the right to act and work and have authority and have power. In the scripture, who does it say gives the power? God gives the power. Hallelujah. You and I aren't fighting in our own strength. If you and I are, we're in trouble. A deep world of hurt. So, when you think of that helmet, you know, I would say, okay, I put on the helmet of salvation. But I wouldn't stop and think, aha, this says I am now in God's army because I have salvation. I am his child and he's given me rights. So when you think of putting on that helmet, think, I am equipped with God's power now. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, then it says to put on the truth, which is the word of God. We're girded up with that. Now, when you go into battle, you don't want any clothes to be loose. You want everything to be girded up so that you're not going to get caught with your clothing and so forth. So as the Romans, they would make their clothing so that it was very appropriate for the battle. No more than necessary, just covering the things that was necessary to protect. So they would have the leg guards that they would put on. and they would have this belt that held the other armor into place, because the breastplate of righteousness can't just, we can't just glue it to us. We have to fasten it on. And so we need to realize, but it's saying that now I have a foundation. You see, we need to be able to have sure footing, so to speak. And that's what truth does for us. So this girding up means that I've done the preparation for battle. I've done the preparation. But have we? Have we really spent the time to understand what it means to speak the truth in love? Have we spent the time to understand what it means to obey the Lord? Have we spent the time to understand and surrendered to the point that we're willing to let the Holy Spirit guide us? If the Lord says, get up and go out to such and such a street, but you have no idea why, how many of us don't say, why, Lord? I'm not going there till you tell me what I'm getting myself into. But we have the example of Philip told to go to a road, and then he gets there and he finds this guy that he's to minister to. He had a God moment, Johnny. He had a God moment. All right? But just because he was willing to do what he was told. When the Spirit said to move, he moved. So he was in the right place because he was obedient. These are all things that we need to envision in the armor of God. These are all things that we're doing. All right. So we now have the Word of God, which is the girding up of our loins. We have the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is one thing I want you to think about. Because so often, Satan wants to point to our imperfections. Do any of you have imperfections? No, none of one in this congregation has imperfections. No, we all know we do. And Satan wants to keep pointing to those. But you know what we should be pointing to? The righteousness of our Savior. The perfect, perfect Savior who lived that perfect life so that he could be the perfect sacrifice, so that you and I could then be clothed in his righteousness. Remember that scripture? We're clothed in his righteousness. So this breastplate that we put on isn't got little imperfections in it, because it belongs to Jesus, the perfect. Amen? So Satan tries to show us imperfections, and we need to say, no, I have the breastplate of righteousness. It's not me. It is Jesus. Amen? Now, the gospel of peace on our feet. He's talking about battle here. Why on earth would he say peace? Yeah. Mind-boggling, isn't it? Because Jesus said, I give you my peace. We have to learn to live in his peace. We have to learn to let him do his work. You know, one of the hardest things I have in my spiritual life is not wanting to be the convictor. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job is to speak truth. Your job is to hear and obey any truth that God has spoken. Now, not that I am the only one that's going to speak truth. Guess what? That's your job too, to speak truth. All right? But when it comes to convicting someone, that has to be left to the Holy Spirit. And if we try to do it, we're trying to do something we've not been called to do. Now, what can we do about that when we see someone that needs to change? It says, share in love. It also says, pray. Those are our responsibilities. Making them change their ways, that we have to leave to the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, shield of faith. I want you to think for a moment. It says that it is going to quench the fiery darts in some translations. And in the New American Standard, it said flaming missiles. Now, when I think of fiery darts, I think of these tiny little things. But when I think of flaming missiles, I think of some mighty, humongous things. Have any of us found that we are in the midst of a struggle that we would more compare to a fiery missile? Amen. I'm sure we all have. But we have to what? Put up the shield of faith. So when we start feeling that those missiles are really coming in and we're really struggling to hold on, we say, Lord, I need your power. I need possibly someone to draw alongside me. Think of Moses in the battle and his brothers there to hold up on one side, and he has the other, and I'm blank now, Aaron and Hur were there to hold up the hands. And as long as his hands were up, the battle was going strong for the Israelites, and they were winning. But if he came down, they started losing. And he had to have people draw alongside him. That is such a beautiful picture of what the church is supposed to be. Sometimes we need help supporting that shield. I want you to think also about how the Roman army would actually line up. They were interlocked. So in essence, the person on each side of you was also supporting you. Isn't that amazing? And then they would even have a person behind them that, because their shield would be long enough that if the arrows are coming from the top, that it would even shield the top part. Isn't that just a beautiful picture of warfare? And guys, let's think about that. We as the church, we get embarrassed when we get into battles. Instead of going to our brother and sister in Christ and saying, I need your help, we keep it to ourselves. Because we don't want someone else to think less of us. All right. Now, the sword of the Spirit. Who is Jesus? All right, that's the one I was wanting to hear. He is the Word of God. Now, when you think of that sword, you need to be thinking that this is Jesus. And if you've got Jesus in your hand, do you think there is anything that can stand before Him? Not a thing. Not a thing. So instead of just thinking of this great big human sword, I want you to envision Jesus in your hand. And He is the very Word of God. So what's interesting is not only is He going out there to cut forth in the battle, He's going back this way to empower and to teach. Keep Him in your hand at all times. Let Him empower you. Let Him teach you. He said when He was talking about the counselor that was going to come, He's going to lead you into all truth. Guys, you can spend hours in this, and if you haven't allowed the counselor to do his job, you're not going to find it effective. It's not the hours. It is the Holy Spirit putting it to use. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to spend hours. Don't get me there. Don't go that way. But I'm saying you could spend hours, but if you don't put it to use, if you don't let the Holy Spirit apply it and cut out the ugliness that's in us. So, do you have a new picture for the helmet, for the shield, for the loins girded with truth, for the... Oh, let's go to the feet. All right. No, we talked about that. That's the peace. All right. So, we've covered everything this morning. I hope this gives you a new picture. And I hope it begins to help you to realize that there's a purpose and that it will actually cause your life to change and be better. It is so important that we listen to the Word of God. And You know, I'm one of these that envisions things. So I have this picture of this mighty warrior. Well, when you start putting Jesus in your hand as a sword, that picture kind of falls apart in some ways, but it's a better picture. It's a better picture when you realize that this sword is now like a lightsaber or a laser or you know, or Jedi. All right? Yes, John.
The sword had two edges to it,
Amen. Amen. So two edges, one slicing outside and one slicing inside in some ways. You can look at it that way as well. So, all right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning, I just ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit to truly touch our lives. That you would take your word and make it mighty in our lives. Father, if there are things we need to surrender to you, help us to lay them on the altar this morning. Equip us, Lord, and empower us. We thank you for the right and might of authority to live as your people. Help us to remember that it is our responsibility to walk as you want us to walk. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.